Well, it is certainly a joy for us to be able to come and be with you again. We appreciate this church family so very much. We do pray God will continue to bless you and guide you and become the church that He wants you to become, because I think this is what's all important, no matter what else we do. If it's pleasing to God, then we're doing the right thing. And we're glad that we can be here. I have a listening guide in there. Some of you may want to do that and you may not. I started doing that about 30 years ago, I think, when I had a group in our church called the Pastor's Pals, all the kids in elementary school. And there's certain things they had to do, and they had to fill out this form, and some of the people saw it and said, "Well, Brother Bill, won't you let everybody do that instead of just the children?" So we started doing it then. But anyway, if you want to fill it out, and you'll have a message to give somebody if you want to, if they ask you about a father. Several things about fathers that I think is important. First of all, I had just two girls, never had any boys, but I got two son-in-laws that are good son-in-laws, and I got two grandchildren that are boys. So we pretty well got it made so far as that is concerned. But so one time this father was trying to get his son to get involved and get active and get involved, you know, and doing something. He said, "Son, you realize that when George Washington was your age, he was working as a surveyor?" To which the son says, "Yes, Father, did you know when he was your age, he was the President of the United States of America?" So moms and dads, be careful when you try to charge your children into doing something that you probably haven't done. And boy, you scared me a while ago when you said we're going to do something different today. 3 weeks ago, we were preaching in this church, and the music director, because I thought you were married, this music director said, "We're going to do something different today," and walked over here away from the pulpit and called a lady out of the choir, and he got down on his knee and proposed to her for marriage. I said, "Oh my goodness, not another one, 2 weeks in a row." But thank goodness it was something else. I'm so glad that that was it. But anyway, the other thing that I heard about what we need to be doing to our kids is that if you want to help your children with their math today, you better do it, because next year they'll be in the fifth grade. You won't be able to do it, okay? And we all know that that is certainly true. A survey was made years ago, and pretty much up to date today, I think it's probably still true. It says that when people who attend Sunday school, when they were children, revealed that when both parents attended with them, 72% attend today. Pretty strong numbers, really. And then also, but when the father attended without the mother, 55% attended when they're adults. And then when only the mother attended, only 15% attended when they were grown. Now, this is not a knock on mothers. This is simply saying that the father is so important in the household that the children recognize that importance. And we recognize that today. A brother Lonnie called me the other day, and I wasn't there, but he left me a message on the iPhone. And he said that he told y'all I'll be preaching out of Corinthians probably, but then when he found out it was in Genesis, he couldn't figure it out. But anyway, I hope that you'll see that this is certainly part of what I want us to look at today, being a Christian father in a pagan world. Now, I'm taking a little bit of liberty of calling people in the Old Testament Christians. I know they were not called Christians, okay, I understand that, but they were righteous, they were godly, and they followed God. So I'm taking that little bit of liberty to say to you, use Noah in that light. Now, a key figure in the spiritual heritage of a child has got to be the father. Now, I know we love women. I've been surrounded by women all my life, my wife and two daughters and three granddaughters, and it's exciting and it's fun, but the father is so very important. Listen, first of all, we notice in Genesis 6, verse 5, that the world is wicked. Wicked. And I don't think we've changed very much since the days of Noah. Just listen to these words. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Now, you will not find very many places in the Bible where it said God repented himself. That means he was sorry. He wished he had not done what he had done. Well, I'm certainly glad he did what he did, and I'm glad he's keeping on doing what he's doing, because, you see, it is not necessarily just what one person does or doesn't do, but when we try to do what God asks us to do, we can see God saw the wickedness of mankind. It wasn't just one or two people. It was everywhere. It was so widespread that God saw the wickedness of everyone. It was so widespread. God said even the imagination of the thoughts of their heart was evil continually. In other words, they're saying, well, what can we do today that would be unhappy to God? Or what can we do today to do that no one else has ever done before? All kinds of weird things like that. But listen to what the Bible tells us about the heart of a lost person in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God said over and over in the Old and in the New Testament that mankind is evil without God. You might say, but you know, these kids are so wonderful and so sweet. But listen, if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're wicked. You say, oh, Brother Bill, you can't say that about our children. Well, I don't, but God does. So you need to worry about what God says and not what Brother Bill or Brother Lonnie might say, because it's so very important. But it says in verse 27, it repented the Lord that he had made man. Now, unfortunately, he don't say a thing about women here, okay? So y'all are pretty much in the clear, it looks like, as far as we're concerned. But this is not Mother's Day, so we won't talk about them. But verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. This is the beginning of the human race. When God began to give us what he wanted us to have forever, he started it in that manner. God said, I will destroy man. Pretty strong, isn't it? God didn't say, I'm going to reprimand them. God didn't say, I'm not going to let them, you know, have a drink of water today. He said, I'm going to destroy them. Finish them from the face of the earth. If what they were doing made God sad, what must he think of us today? Folks, it just looks like to me that we are tempting God on every side. It is so unfortunate that the world has overcome the Christian family in the world today. We got to be careful about what we're doing. Well, it says that Noah, he proved it was possible to be a Christian-like man in a pagan society. Verse 8. He says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Wow. What a light in this dark world that God was talking about. Only one man, only Noah, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 3. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. This is what God's messenger did in answer to the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he wanted them to know that he did not do anything that he did to please people, but to please God. That's what Noah did. He pleased God. Did Noah please all the people around him? No, he did not please them. But he pleased God, and that is what matters. So we must not become too concerned about pleasing man over God. This is happening time and time again. It says also that not only did Noah find favor in the eyes of the Lord, but it says very plainly, Noah was a righteous man. Now search your Bible and find how many men God called righteous in the Bible. You'll be a little bit surprised because there are so few that God called righteous. Now sometimes we, you know, build each other up and say how righteous that person is or how wonderful they are and all these good things, but it's different me saying it and God saying it, believe me. You see, we say it because of how we see you act and behave. But God says it because he knows you. What a difference. You see, there's a difference when I see somebody do something and when God knows what we are. And that is what, look at verse 9, Genesis 6, 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. We all know that it's difficult to walk with another person if you're not in step with them. You can't hardly do it. You'll be falling behind or getting ahead or whatever it might be. But the Bible's very clear about this. He said he wants us to see how Noah was a kingdom man in the Old Testament. You see, he could have fit in the New Testament the way he acted and the way he behaved and the way he lived for God. So we want to try to understand all the very best we can what God wants us to do. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:48, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now I know if you have a different translation than the King James, you have a different word there that's used. But God used perfect here, and he used it for Noah. Noah was perfect in his day. Now that doesn't mean that Noah had never done anything wrong in his whole life, and it doesn't mean you have never done anything in your whole life. What it means is we have done what God has asked us to do. You see, if you're given a test and you answer all the questions correct, well, you have a perfect score. But does that mean you know everything? No, it doesn't mean you know everything. You just knew what was on that test. God is testing us all the time. Sometimes we answer right and sometimes we don't answer right. Or listen to Matthew 5:20. He said, "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." God has said very plainly, as he showed them, the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, these were righteous men, supposedly, in their day and time, but not to God. You see, the world saw them as righteous, but God saw them as not righteous. God saw the people as righteous, and the world saw these people as not righteous. I am glad God knows the truth. Amen? If you don't say amen, is it okay to say amen? We can say that every once in a while if y'all want to. It'd be all right. Noah was blameless among the people. Verse 9 tells us he was perfect in his generation. Now, you and I like to say, well, you know, it was so much easier back then. Oh, yeah? How about one Christian? How about one family and the whole world? We got it made, folks. We can gather together as in churches as we do today all over this land. And we can get strength from one another as we worship the Father as He wants us to worship Him. Yes, He set an example for the world. He did not allow the world to taint Him. For some time, I was able to preach over at Olive in the Chinese church. I don't know anything about Chinese, okay? I don't hardly know how to tell you how to get there, okay? But I got to go, and of course, they had an interpreter, and I would preach, and they would interpret. And the thing that amazed me so much about this service was they had about 8 or 9 little children. They didn't eat Cheerios. They didn't write notes. They sat there and listened to the sermon. Now, if you've been in a service before, when the preacher preaches and somebody interprets it, you know how boring it probably could become. They paid strict attention. So after a while, I kept noticing this, you know. I said, "This is so unusual." So I asked one of the fathers, "How did they do it?" He said, "They don't watch TV." I said, "What?" He said, "They don't ever watch television. We teach them at home what they're supposed to do at church. And we come to church and they do it." Wow. I kind of felt like a failure because our little girls ate Cheerios so they'd keep quiet and not get in trouble, you know, at church. They would, I hate to say it, even sometimes they'd color something, you know. But they weren't bad and they weren't mean and they weren't loud, you understand. But I thought to myself, how wonderful that small church over there at Olive. And that's what they're doing with their children. Well, we need more men today who will be a light into the world by the way they live. Noah walked with God. You see, the word walk in the Old and New Testament talks about a lifestyle or conversation of a person. Not necessarily that you just walk, but it's a lifestyle that you follow. Bible said Noah followed God and lived under His guidance every day. You and I do it some days. Noah did it every day. His lifestyle reflected the ongoing relationship with God. This is so important for us to see. You see, we get saved. We start doing what God wants us to do, and we see some other Christians do things that we didn't think, you know, we're supposed to do. Well, I guess that's okay for Christians to do those things. But we don't get our guidance from other Christians necessarily. We get it from God. You see, there are Christians doing things today that they shouldn't be doing. Going places they shouldn't go. Doing things they shouldn't do. But if you follow God, you'll never have that problem. It is not we follow somebody, but we follow God. You see, his lifestyle reflected the ongoing with a permanent relationship with Heavenly Father. And that's what God wants us to do. When people look at your lifestyle, is it obvious to them that you spend time with God? You know, when Moses came down from the mountain, talking with God, the people could not look upon Moses because he shone so bright. Should there be any difference in you and me when we are alone with God time after time after time? There should be a difference. People should be able to see that there is a difference in how we live and what we do with our time. And then I can say also that Noah obeyed God. God told Noah, I want you to build an ark. Wow. Probably the first question Noah said is, God, what's the ark? You know, I don't even know what we're talking about. By the way, there's a movie out called Noah's Ark. Don't go see it, okay? It is horrible. I don't know what kind of Bible they used, but it wasn't the real Bible, okay, at all, because it was just horrible what all they did in that thing. The people didn't build the ark. He had a bunch of, I don't know what you call them, but rocks come out of the ground and became people, and they did all this work for him. Oh, what a waste of money that was. But God told him in verse 22 how to build the ark. He said, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. When God tells us something, he usually tells us how he wants us to do it. And when we do it like he tells us to do it, it will be successful. Of course, you've already heard, I'm sure, the difference in the Titanic and Noah's ark. You know, Noah's ark was built by amateurs and it floated. And the Titanic built by great engineers and it sank. If God had said, you guys build the Titanic like this and this and this and this, it would still be floating somewhere today, probably. But they didn't do that. They did it themselves. God then told him in verse 5 to take his family and all the animals into the ark. Verse 5, and Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Sometimes we can't even get our children to go to church with us, much less to get in an ark and separate themselves from the rest of the world. God said, Noah, do this, and Noah did it. And you know what's amazing about it? Not that Noah did it, but that their kids followed them. The kids did what Noah told him to do. You see, today we almost become a laughingstock to our children because when we tell them to do something, especially if you have not become a Christian at an early age, see, this is a real problem, and I've seen it in a lot of families. I was 9 years old when I accepted Christ, so I haven't had any worry or any problem about how to do, you know, what I'm supposed to be doing. But if I'd lived in the world for 40 or 50 years and then become a Christian, I could see my kids say, Dad, this is what you told us when you were younger. And so we're doing it now. How sad. We hear of families who, maybe one of the family members is an alcoholic, or my dad was a drunk, okay? He never was called an alcoholic, but he just drank. Fortunately, my mother was a Christian and kept us involved in the church and the Lord's work. Others you hear of, though, the same thing. They were drunks or alcoholics, whatever you want. And then they get sober and start training up their kids to live right. And guess what? They said, Dad, are you kidding? I've seen you do this so many times. And we can't take it away from them, see? What's in their mind, they remember forever and ever and ever. We can try to build it back up, but sometimes it doesn't work. The problem, fathers and Christians in general, is not understanding the Word of God, but in obeying the commands that we already know. I contend that we Southern Baptists especially know more about how to reach people than any denomination in all the world. But we're not doing a very good job. Vance Havner, a great old Bible teacher, he used to always, I think every sermon he would say this. He said, you know, the pastor is just to fill the pulpit and the members are to fill the church. I said, wow. But listen, if the pastor is filling the pulpit right, the congregation will then fill the church right. In other words, it is a team effort altogether. And so this is what God is wanting us to try to do. Mark Twain said, and I thought this was really interesting. He says, it is not what I don't know about the Bible that bothers me, but what I do know about the Bible. Certainly true. You see, it puts some limitations on things that perhaps we're not really excited and happy about. If you would be the kind of Christian God wants you to have, will you listen to and will you obey God's Word? That's it. You know, you don't have to say, Brother Bill said this. Or we need to say, you know, it says in Genesis 6:7, this is what God says. It is much better. I want to be as faithful to God and to my family as I can be. But I'm a human, and I'm going to fail. But listen, God is not going to fail. God is going to do the right thing and tell you the right thing every time. No problem whatsoever about this. Noah then also led his family to salvation. You might say, well, I don't know about that salvation thing. But it was salvation. You think about it very, very long, you'll understand that it really is clear. Chapter 7, verse 1, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. God said, Noah, I want you to get your family in the ark. And so Noah got the ark finished, got all the animals together, got his children together, and they went in the ark. How amazing God is. The Bible is very clear about what Noah did and how he did it and why he did it. Listen to Hebrews 11:7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That means his family, his children. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah did not listen to the world. They laughed at him. I don't know what all they might have done to poor Noah when he was building that ark out there. And they'd never even seen it rain before. They didn't know what it was for. Noah didn't either. But he did. You see, we don't have to know what God's going to do the end of. We just need to know what the beginning is he wants us to do. And as we do it, we're going to just see how God blesses us and we grow and become everything he wants us to be. Oh, listen to 1 Peter 3, verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. You know, we look at our church sometimes and say, man, we need to have 100 in church. We need to have 500 in church. We need to have 1,000 in church. Noah did all he did for the saving of eight people. Preached at a church a couple years ago now. I went to the church and never been there before. There were like 16 people there. And after we sang about two hymns, they said, all right, all that's going to the children's church, leave. Out of 16, seven left. 11 people left in the auditorium. I was kind of saying, you know, there ought to be more people here for me to preach to than this. But I preached. I gave the invitation. This lady came forward. She said, I'm visiting here today. And I want Jesus in my heart. 10 members were there, one visitor. I want you to know God doesn't care how many are in church. God's concerned about what we're doing, about what is church. I still want to cry now about thinking about how big I thought I was, you know, that I needed more people. Listen, if there had just been that lady there that day and she got saved, it would have been worth it all. We sometimes think we've got to have a bunch. Did you know how people get saved? One person at a time. Families don't get saved. Individuals get saved. One by one by one. We lose track of this. God doesn't want us to lose track of this. Now, when Paul talks about his accomplishments, it's almost like he is ashamed. I want you to listen to this that I'm reading from in Philippians, the third chapter. Listen to his testimony. It's almost like he is, wish he hadn't done some of this stuff, but all of it's good. Listen to it. Though I might have also confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, be made conformable unto His death. If I was to try to give you a resume of what I've done for God, I would fail. I ain't done anything. Look what He had done. But He said, I count it all for loss that I might know Christ. Folks, when you and I have attitude like that, we're going to be different. We're going to minister different. We're going to act different. People will see who we are. In conclusion, I think this. If I'm successful in building a church or any other kind of business and have not influenced my own family to know the Lord, I have failed. I have failed. What is my purpose in this life? To know God and to tell everybody I know about God, especially my family. When we do that, if you have never built anything, if you have never done anything, but your family loves God, you've done good. Remember a revival one time? Y'all remember we used to have revivals for weeks and 2 weeks at a time? We was at a country church, and this guy came out there and preached for us, one of my friends, and we were preaching, and every afternoon we'd go visit different families, you know. And I remember this one particular family where I said, Brother Bill, you need to go visit the Norton family today. They got two teenagers that need to get saved. I said, all right, we'll go there. We went, and Brother Comer, he just went through the plan of salvation, you know, and asked this little girl and little boy, I said, do you want to ask Jesus in your heart? And they said, no, I don't think I'm ready. There was a little 7-year-old girl sitting over on the side listening. She held her hand up. She said, would it be okay if I did? Would it be okay if I did? You see, sometimes we're talking to the wrong people. We don't even know it. But if other people hear the gospel, they also can be saved. And that is what God wants to happen. I believe this. You can count your success by the world's standards or the Lord's standards, whichever you choose to go by. The greatest responsibility we have from God is to train the children of God that He has blessed us with. And that's what He wants us to do. We need to train up our children. It wasn't very long ago when Brother Lonnie came here to the church, we were telling our youngest daughter, Rachel, about Lonnie coming here. And she said, you know, he was the best teacher we ever had in any church we ever were in. You know, that's the kind of preacher y'all got. One that a young teenager girl, one as a grown girl, one as a grown mother, now says, he really teaches the Bible. That's so important. One of our greatest joys is to see our children leading their children in a walk with the Lord. Believe me, I count this the greatest privilege that there is. I just love to hear them talk about the Lord and what the Lord is doing. Rachel now has, I think she's 13 and 15, two girls. And the 13-year-old helps in the nursery when Mama works in the nursery. And she... last year at Christmas time, she made some little things. She can sew and crochet and stuff. One for all the children in her little class. I said, you're just like your grandmother. Your grandma used to do stuff just like that. And your mama does stuff like that. Guess what? That's exactly the way it's supposed to happen. They see mama do it. They see the daughters do it. Then they see the grandchildren do it. God has a plan. It is never too late to start leading them. Do you measure up like Noah? No, I know you've never built an ark, probably. I haven't either. But, have you found favor in the sight of God, in God's eyes? Folks, we can be just like Noah. We really can. Now, He doesn't call us all to do the same thing. But He does call us to be faithful to Him. And this is what He's looking for in us today. Are you seeking to be a righteous man or woman for God today? We can do it with God's help. We can't do it without His help. Are you blameless before your peers? In other words, when you say something, they say, oh, he don't mean that. Or do you say, you know, Brother Bill said that, we might better think about it. Whatever it is God wants us to do, we need to do it. Are you walking with God? Have you obeyed God? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we have this opportunity to come and just spread your word, Father. I pray today that you're going to help us to understand what the message is for each one of us as individuals and as a church. And God, we know that we're not perfect. We have not arrived. We've never even thought about that we had arrived anywhere. But we do know this much, Heavenly Father. You want us to do what you want us to do. And I pray you will just take this service, this invitation, and speak to our hearts. And I pray, God, that what will happen now is what you want to happen. Lord God, if there's anybody here that's lost, I pray they'll get saved. Lord, if there's some Christians here that's away from you, I pray they'll want to come back home and be with you right now. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your will would be done in this service right now. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What is our hymn that we're going to sing?